Hello, and welcome back to the Peter Mackay Motorsport Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. I really appreciate you taking the time to listening to our little podcast. Thanks to all you new subscribers who have subscribed on Podbean over the last week or so. I really appreciate that. Thank you very much. And also a bit of news. This is a first news section on the Peter Mackay Motorsport Podcast. We are now available on iTunes and Stitcher as well. So opening up more avenues for you to tune into our podcast. So if you're an Apple user, you can go straight into iTunes and find our podcast from there. If you'd like to contact me on the show, you can do so via Twitter, which is at Mackay Podcast, or via my website, which is www.petermackaymotorsport.com. And if you'd like to check out some of the written work that I've done recently, you can see that on my profile on drivetribe.com as well. In today's episode, we're going to talk about WRC, the World Rally Championship, which is coming in right into the business end of the season, with the two main championship contenders, Ott Tänak and Sébastien Ogier, about to go head-to-head over the next few rounds. It's very much been Ott Tänak's year this year. He's been by far and away the most dominant driver in the series at the wheel of his Toyota Yaris WRC. By far and away the fastest driver, that's very, very clear, but has been seriously hampered by reliability issues of his Toyota, as some of the other Toyota drivers have as well. And really, without those reliability issues, he would be well clear for the championship already. But unfortunately, in the previous round in Turkey, he experienced an electrical issue, which was ended up to be terminal, and took him out of the rally. He wasn't in an overly high point scoring position at the time, but would have certainly come home with some points as well. And of course, Sébastien Ogier, his championship adversary, went on to win the rally as part of a Citroën 1-2 with his teammate Esa-Pekka Lappi coming in behind him in second. So all of a sudden, having looked down and out just a few rounds ago, Sébastien Ogier is right back in the championship, only 17 points behind Ott Tänak. So still a little bit to go. 25 points for a win, and then a maximum of 5 points in the power stage. I think actually the rally finishing power stage, where up to 5 points are available for the fastest time, I think the power stage points are going to be absolutely crucial over the next few rounds at GB in Spain and in the finale in Australia. So you've got 15 championship points as a maximum score over those power stages, so that you're going to see some absolute flat out driving. You're going to see these drivers go absolutely toe to toe at the power stage, and it could even be that the championship is so close that the final power stage in Australia could be a championship decider, and I think that would be absolutely incredible to see. So, as I said, Ott Tänak, the Estonian, he looks the guy who's got the strongest chance to break the Sébastien Ogier dominance, who's won the last 6 Drivers World titles, and of course Sébastien Loeb winning the next 9 before that as well. So the last time someone who won the WRC Drivers World title who wasn't French and wasn't called Sébastien was Petter Solberg back in 2003 at the wheel of a Subaru Impreza, a brand we will talk about a little bit later on in this episode. But Ott Tänak, I would still say he's the favourite, although Ogier is just seems to be coming on song at the moment. Ott Tänak, you've got to think that there's a big question mark over the reliability of his car. It could be that might be the deciding factor. Tänak himself, unlike last year, he has made absolutely no errors of his own this year. He's been completely flawless in this season. One or two punctures here and there, but that's kind of in rallying, that's more or less unavoidable. But no errors, no crashes, which you couldn't say the same about Sébastien Ogier. And in terms of pace, he's been far superior in pace. However, Talking of Sebastien Ogier, the defending world champion, six times a world champion winner, he is behind in the points, but if he can claim back a couple of points in Great Britain in the next round and in Catalonia in Spain in the round after that, even if he goes into Australia behind Oit Tanak, if his gap is reduced, the road position in Australia plays a very important part. So in the World Rally Championship, the drivers start, usually they go off into the stage in about 3 minute intervals, sometimes longer if a stage is particularly dusty, but they'll go off in 3 minute intervals and are timed over the stage. And on a gravel round, the road position can play absolute havoc in the results, because the road position at the beginning of the rally is done in championship order. So if you're leading the championship, you've got to be the one that's got to go out in the road first. And the disadvantage of being first on the road is that on a gravel surface, and especially a very fine gravel surface, there's a lot of loose gravel that needs to be cleared away and for a line to be created to expose the more grippy surface underneath, which the cars running behind get an increasingly bigger advantage. So often you can see guys that are quite far down the championship often leading a rally after the first day. Into the second day, the road order is reversed, with the leader of the rally going to the back of the back of the pack. So if you have a bad first day, you can be in real trouble, having to open up the road on the Saturday, on the second day as well. So Australia is a very, very loose gravel event. So if Oit Tanak has to open the road with Sebastien Ogier just a few points behind him, even though he's got the few points in his pocket, having that disadvantage of road position is crucial. However, Oit Tanak's he's taken to that environment like a duck to water. Pretty much opening the road has been exclusive to Sebastien Ogier over the last, well, the last six seasons, really. He's always been the one leading the championship, so he's been the one who's got the most experience of opening the road. But Oit Tanak this year, whilst leading the championship for a good portion of the year, has been absolutely fantastic at controlling that. And I think that's just also a matter of just his superior pace over his competitors as well. But that road position is going to play very, very important when we get round to Australia in a couple of rallies' time. The other thing to consider as we head into Wales Rally GB next weekend is that Sebastien Ogier is one of his favourite rallies, and one that's given him incredible success over the years, and he's won it from first on the road on a number of occasions. He's an absolute genius at Wales Rally GB, and we saw him last year really put in the performance of the year at Wales Rally GB and clinching a victory just at the right time to put himself right into the championship fight, which of course he eventually went on and won at the wheel of his Ford Fiesta. And also what you've got to consider is that Sebastien Ogier has relatively little to prove. He's, you know, he's six-time world champion. He's done that. He's been there and done it before. Tanak has never been in this position to win or to be leading into the final aspect of the championship. So that's bound to play into it. But Oit Tanak has shown us this year that he's got nerves of steel and clearly has 100% confidence in what he can do, but undoubtedly that he doesn't have 100% confidence in his Toyota machine, at least from a reliability point of view. So that will be fascinating to see how that plays out. Of course, for most of the season, there has been another protagonist in the championship battle. So we've had Oit Tanak in his Toyota, we've had Sebastien Ogier in his Citroën C3, and Thierry Neuville, the Belgian, in the wheel of his Hyundai i20 Coupe. And unfortunately, it looks like Thierry Neuville is set to be the bridesmaid again this year. Unfortunately, he's been so close to challenging for the championship over the last few years, but just a little bit of bad luck at the wrong time, and he unfortunately had a little crash in Turkey. It didn't take him out of the rally completely, but in Turkey, the organisers hadn't put together a long enough gap between runners, and the mist and the fog and the dust coming off the back of the car in front hampered his vision. Missed a pace note and ended up down a gorge, losing a number of minutes and going out of the points. And unfortunately, that was something he really couldn't afford. And is really probably is very, very unlikely that Thierry Neuville will be able to mount a challenge from the championship from here, which is a great pity, because he has been superb this year with some great rally wins. But don't write him off for next year. I think all these experiences are toughening him up, and he becomes a more complete driver year after year. And I think it won't be too long before we're seeing him winning a world championship. So it's going to be fascinating coming into Wales Rally GB, one of the classic rounds of the season. Used to be the closing round of the championship. There's been some amazing scenes over the years, with Colin McRae's World Rally Championship victory in 1995, Richard Burns' championship victory when he went head to head with Colin McRae, and Colin McRae, of course, crashing out in the Focus, Martini Focus, in spectacular fashion, gifting Richard Burns the championship. Carlos Sainz breaking down on the last stage in a Toyota, funnily enough, and throwing his helmet through the back window of his Toyota Corolla. And of course, Peder Solberg winning the world championship back in 2003 as well. So Wales Rally GB has given us so many exciting things. And a couple of years ago, it was M Sport's, it's probably the best day of Malcolm Wilson's life, with M Sport winning the Team World Championship, winning the Drivers' World Championship with Sebastian Ogier in their first year together, and Elvin Evans winning his first World Rally in his DMAC Fiesta as well, which was super cool to see. So it's been the site of real drama over the years, and I think it's going to be an absolute cracker. So if you don't already subscribe to WRC All Live, you can get it through the App Store or on I would imagine on iTunes as well. And I think it's something like £7 or £8 a month, and it covers every single stage live, and it's absolutely fantastic. So even just get it for Rally GB or to the end of the season, because it's excellent. You give it a good go. Right, what else are we going to see around the field? We've talked about the kind of two main championship protagonists, Tanak and Ogier. It's going to be fascinating to see how that plays out. But in the rest of the field, there's a couple of other little interesting subplots that we're going to see. So at Toyota, Toyota is clearly the quickest car in the World Rally Championship at the moment. That seems very, very obvious at the moment. And there are three seats within that Toyota team, both this year and for next year as well. And there's been multiple reports. The top WRC journalist, David Evans, has consistently reported that Kalle Rovanperä, the young Kalle Rovanperä, the teenager son of former WRC driver Harry Rovanperä, who's looking on course to win the WRC 2 Pro world title. It's been consistently reported by David Evans in Motorsport News that Kalle Rovanperä may be in line for a Toyota WRC drive as soon as next season. And of course, if that were to be the case, then we could see either Chris Meek or Jari-Matti Latvala on the sidelines. However, it's a little bit like a Rubik's Cube, the driver market in the WRC for 2020, because Ott Tanak and his decision of what he does for next season will play a lot to do, and I suspect that's what Toyota are actually waiting on the decision of Ott Tanak. Now, good time to talk about Toyota's lineup with reference to Chris Meek and Jari-Matti Latvala, because Ott Tanak has obviously been incredibly successful at Toyota, and it seems to be an excellent partnership so far. But the word coming out of the team, they've been reported that that with these continuing reliability issues, Ott Tanak getting more and more frustrated, and it's been openly discussed, and sightings of both Ott Tanak and Marco Martin, his manager, going to M Sport to talk about, well, you can guess what they're talking about, and Malcolm Wilson stirred the pot nicely, saying, you know, he would love to have Oit Tanak back. And you've got to remember that Malcolm Wilson is a guy who kept giving Oit Tanak the chance to move up the ladder in WRC. However, whether M Sport and Ford will put together the backing to get somebody of Tanak's, well, you can imagine if Tanak is looking strong for a world title, clearly the fastest guy at the moment in WRC, I can imagine that's a big bill to get hold of somebody like that. So I honestly think he'll stay at Toyota. I think it's a good idea to stay in a fully factory-backed team, and a team that's clearly committed for the future. It's backed from the very highest level. Mr. Toyota, the chairman of the company, he's a complete petrolhead, so he's right behind that Toyota project. So if Tanak does stay, and if Rovan Perra comes into the team, then that's going to put Meek or Latvala out of a job. Now, who would I pick if I was Tommy Mäkinen, the team manager of Toyota World Rally Team? Who would I pick? To be honest, I would go with Chris Meek. I think Chris Meek is actually, he's got more consistency, more potential. Even though we're talking a guy nearly 40 years old, I still feel Chris's WRC career is still long ahead of him. And I also feel that, you know, Jari Matti Latvala's career is, he's had the opportunities, I think. And I think he's been in the sport a very, very long time and ran a lot of rallies, but is proven that when the pressure comes on, it really doesn't suit him. So in a battle for a championship, of which he's never really been in, if he did get into that, you would normally expect him to capitulate. Chris Meek, he would be the one I would put my money on. And I think that him and Tommy Mäkinen I think Tommy Mäkinen really understands Chris Meek, and Chris Meek will have a lot of respect for Tommy Mäkinen as well, given his achievements. So let's wait and see, but it could be completely thrown up if Rovan Perra decides to stay in the WRC2 category with Skoda, or if Oit Tanak decides to move on to pastures new. Who knows? I can imagine Mr. Adamo over at Hyundai might even be putting in a nice juicy offer for him to come into the Hyundai fold. Let's wait and see. We'll talk a little bit about M Sport now, because M Sport, the independent team from Cockermouth, led by Malcolm Wilson, a rally legend himself, an independently run team with a little bit of backing from Ford, but not very much. Very much an independent effort compared to the might of Toyota, Citroen, and Hyundai, which they're battling with. And what we've seen this year is that Fiesta, that you can really see the legacy of the 2 years that Sebastian Ogier spent in 2017 and 2018 at the team, because that Fiesta looks like a good solid car, certainly most reliable car in the championship. And Elvin Evans, before being taken out with injury, was putting in some excellent performances, and we've also seen Teemu Suninen impressing behind the wheel of that Ford Fiesta as well. So back for his home round, Elvin Evans, after having most of the summer off with really quite a bad injury, he's going to get back in the car. If the rally is going to be dry, Elvin Evans is going to have a lovely road position, and you know, he's won the event before, and I think that as long as he's in good enough physical shape, I think he'll be able to get back up to speed with a cut. He's been testing a little bit before the rally as well, so let's wait and see. I think you keep an eye on Elvin Evans, because I think at the wheel of that M Sport Ford Fiesta, which is clearly a very, very good package, I think it will be, he's going to be one to watch, and would love to see him spring a little surprise on his return. So M Sport, we touched on it briefly there, about Malcolm Wilson, the owner of M Sport, trying to get Tanak back to the M Sport Ford team. He seems to be trying very, very hard to put together some sort of package to bring in someone like Oit Tanak, and he seems to be very focused on Oit Tanak in particular. But can the boat come in twice? I mean, we saw this a couple of years ago where Malcolm put together, I managed to pull together a package somehow to get Sebastien Ogier to come to the team. And reportedly, there was a rumour that he actually put in a chunk of his own money as a kind of Christmas present to himself to have Sebastien Ogier, the greatest driver in the championship, certainly as far as results are concerned, to come and drive his car. So signing Tanak now would probably be an equally as expensive but equally as big a scoop in the current context of the World Rally Championship if you could get someone of that stature. However, in order to put together a program, both in terms of driver salary but also technically, kind of probably more important than the salary, the kind of technical backing that a driver with the ambition of a Tanak or an Ogier looks for in terms of the technical development of the car. And in order to do that, they need the backing of Ford and Ford Performance from the top level, from headquarters. And that's a difficult one. I think that that's all going to come down to what, you know, the motorsport budget that Ford has. They've retired a lot of their endurance car racing at Le Mans and in IMSA as well, which is a big, big budget programme. So with the World Rally Championship heading towards hybrid rules in a couple of years, you never know that Ford might see the relevance of the World Rally Championship going forward. Let's see. I think regardless of who they got driving the cars, it would be great to see M Sport getting a little bit of backing behind them again from Ford. Now, we've got a few guys making comebacks at Wales Rally GB. We've got Craig Breen, which is it's great to see Craig back in the WRC. He really, really impressed me with his comeback in Finland with very, very little time in the car in terms of the Hyundai WRC car. But he adapted to it almost straight away and really staked a claim for a seat at the table to talk about contracts and a full-time WRC drive again for next year. Craig was so unlucky to just be, it was just three people doesn't go into two cars for Citroën. He was a full-time Citroën driver and lost his seat at the end of last season. But Craig, I actually wrote an article about this on DriveTribe and my website about Craig's return to the top level of rallying and how he could have taken the news of losing out on a WRC drive and kind of gone off into the distance and you know been cynical about it. But no, he got on the phone and he put together every piece of rally action that he could. Teamed up with a fellow WRC exile, Chris Meeks, former co-driver Paul Nagel, who also found himself out of a job as Chris changed to a new co-driver in Seb Marshall. And Craig and Paul have gone out and they've won the Irish Tarmac Championship. They've gone and won the San Remo Rally and a number of other rallies around Europe. I think they've driven every R5 car on the market this year. They've driven a Skoda, they've driven a VW, they've driven a Ford, and then a Hyundai as well. But I would love to see Craig Breen getting a seat at Hyundai next year because it really seems that he fits that car well. So again, another one, a bit like Elvin Evans, he'll have a really good road position if it's dry, but you never know. Let's wait and see what he's going to do. Now, we've also got it's going to be a special Rally GB this year because we mentioned Petter Solberg earlier on in the show. Petter Solberg is going to be making his farewell appearance in the World Rally Championship in the R5 car, in the Polo R5 car. But what's really cool is his son Oliver, who's really coming up the ranks very quickly and already won some rallies in America. So he's still a young man, still a teenager, but he couldn't ask for a better mentor and a father than Petter Solberg. So Oliver and Petter Solberg are both going to be competing at the weekend at Wales Rally GB, which is going to be so nice to see Petter back with his old co-driver Phil Mills as well. So that will be quite nostalgic actually to see those guys back together and for Petter to get a proper send off. He's not going to be away from motorsport for long, I don't think. He might be stepping out of the driver's seat, but I think we're going to see him We're going to see him making, I think we'll see him make an appearance quite soon in the next couple of years in the WRC, perhaps as a team manager for his son's team or something like that. And we'd love to see that, because you'd never, a guy like Peder Solberg, he's a guy who you can't help but like, and someone who's got so many fans in this in the sport. One thing also to look out for, if you live in the kind of north of England, northwest of England, there is actually going to be a special stage at Oulton Park on I think it's Wednesday evening of the rally, which will be the opening stage of the rally around there. So go and check that out. Go and see the fastest rally cars ever made. Go along and open up the Wales Rally GB proceedings. So if you're in and around that area near Cheshire, go and see that at Oulton Park. So a couple of little bits of news just to conclude the show, this little preview of Wales Rally GB. At last, we've got the 2020 calendar of WRC rallies. Some really interesting additions and some sad omissions as well. We'll start with the positives. Japan is going to be back on the World Rally calendar, which is, I'm so excited about that. Japan is a wonderful country with the best fans in the world for motorsport, and Japan itself, of course, has a very, as a, you know, a nation of constructors of rally cars, has had a very, very successful past. You know, we have Toyota doing very well in the championship at the moment, and of course won titles in the past. Subaru with Colin McRae and Richard Burns and people like that. Mitsubishi, Tommy Mäkinen. I mean, there's the heritage of rallying in Japan, and in terms of the cars they've built, is just fantastic, and it's brilliant to see Japan back on the calendar after a number of years away. And Japan is one of the prettiest countries in the world as well, in the countryside, and I think it will make for a wonderful event and a brilliant source of activation for the manufacturers as well, because they're, you know, you've got to remember, to fund a WRC program, it's tens of millions of pounds, and you've got to try and get as much return as you can from that. That's also, you know, that can come in the form of seeing your little, you know, a Toyota Yaris taking on the rugged terrain at high speed, or it can be, in the case of Japan, having employees, people who make the vehicles, come along to the rally and see their work in action, or customers, or whatever. There's lots of things you can do with activation in motorsport, but if you don't go to the countries where it's relevant, then it doesn't make any sense. So Japan is going to be a fantastic addition to the championship in so many ways. And Toyota being probably the team spending the most money, certainly close along with Hyundai, for them to get the engagement in their domestic market and the activation is a big, big deal. But Japan can have another extra thing that can be added to the championship. Subaru and Mitsubishi have not been involved in the World Rally Championship in a factory basis for well over a decade now. And it would be so lovely to see a Subaru or a Mitsubishi come back. And I think with new hybrid regulations on the horizon, which are coming in a couple of years' time, and if you look at Mitsubishi, if you look at their road car range of products, they've been one of the companies who have really got ahead of the game in terms of hybrid road cars. You see Mitsubishi Outlander PHEVs all over the United Kingdom and all over Europe as well. So you never know, the hybrid regulations could be something that bring back some of these other factories. And of course you've got Honda as well. You never know, Honda could come to the fore as well. We're also going to have the Safari Rally in Kenya coming back, which is really, really cool. Safari Rally is a really iconic rally, super, super tough, super rugged, a real, real battle for the cars to make it to the finish. And in terms of, for manufacturers, that product and that the WRC is offering as a kind of platform to show how durable your vehicles are, particularly when we go into the context of hybrid vehicles, where we're really trying to convince the general public that a hybrid vehicle is a suitable alternative and it's a viable option for your next road car. So I think it's great that the Safari is coming back. However, I was so sad to see that Rally Corsica, the Tour de Corse, has been taken off of the calendar, which is a great, great pity, because the scenes of those just iconic, classic tarmac stages. They call it the Rally of 10,000 Corners, and it's been one of the most famous rallies in the championship since its beginning. You know, if you look back at some of the Group B videos of people like Michel Mouton and Walter Roll and people like that competing at in Corsica, it's just fantastic. And this year it was an all-time classic with Elvin Evans. He had it all in the bag and then clipped a pothole in the middle of the road and got a puncture, unfortunately lost the rally, and ended up in third in the end. But that was such a close rally at Corsica this year, and a beautiful setting as well. It has everything going for it, and it's such a shame to see that be taken off the calendar. Will it make a return in future? Well, we'll just have to wait and see, but it's such a pity to see a classic event like that be taken off. But in return, we're getting Japan and we're getting Safari, and we're also getting New Zealand as well, which is a classic event too. So we shouldn't be too despondent. And perhaps the omission of Corsica, that leaves no French round of the championship left if you exclude Monte Carlo. Because I wonder if this is the World Rally Championship preparing for life after Sébastien Loeb and Sébastien Ogier, because Sébastien Ogier has quite openly said that his current Citroën contract will very likely be his last, and it concludes at the end of next year. And you would imagine that someone like Sébastien Loeb is only going to do part-time rallies for another few years. So clearly they're looking to the future, and maybe not having a round in France is maybe not such a big deal for the championship anymore, but certainly a bit of a pity to lose Corsica. There's also been a little bit of news this week with reports from Yves Maton, who's in charge of delivering the new regulations for the World Rally Car, it has been confirmed that will have some form of hybrid technology within it. It has been confirmed. What have we learned this week? Well, they've confirmed that they've pledged to try and keep the build costs to the same sorts of level. Nothing about development costs, of course, but the build cost is apparently due to be about the same as the current cars are. So not far off €1 million for a car, so it's not exactly privateer friendly, to say the least. It will be the same 1.6-litre engine, turbo engine, that's been in use in the championship for a number of years now. I think that's very sensible. A well-developed engine, you don't want to add too much extra complication. Developing a new internal combustion engine when you're trying to develop a hybrid along beside it would be silly. So I think it seems to be being handled in quite a sensible way. And I think using the existing World Rally car, which has really been a big, I think, in the last sort of 2.5, nearly 3 seasons now, it's been a brilliant part of bringing people's interest in World Rallying back, because the cars at the moment are spectacular. So if you're to add a hybrid element to that, where you could in theory boost performance, particularly on something like a power stage with a full battery pack and combined with the 1.6 turbo engine, we could see World Rally cars actually having a big lift in horsepower again, which, you know, really adds to the spectacle as well. So hybrid coming in, everybody's concern is, is it going to spoil the spectacle of rallying? I think if they approach it in the right way, I actually think it should be fine, but they must learn the lessons of Le Mans and Formula One were the first kind of motorsports to get into the hybrid technology in a big way. And at Le Mans, because it wasn't really handled particularly well, and it absolutely ruined the top class of racing in LMP1 and at Le Mans, when Audi and Porsche both pulled out due to excessive costs and, of course, some other external factors which have been well publicised. So that's what WRC's got to be careful in. Looking at the model of something like Formula E, where a lot of the components are very closely controlled in terms of cost, and you just have to look at how many manufacturers are getting involved in that championship. So let's see. There's also a little bit, there was a survey that came out on the WRC website about a month ago, asking for fan feedback on what they would like to see in the new regulations. And one of the questions I thought was interesting was asking about what type of car we would like to see in the new regulations. And what I mean by that is, like, what class of car. So at the moment it's probably what you would call a super mini, so a Yaris or a Polo or a Citroen C3 or a Hyundai i20. But it asked, you know, would you keep it at those type of cars, or would it be maybe a Corolla or a Golf or a Ford Focus or an Astra or something like that, a kind of middle size car, or perhaps even a kind of what is a sort of micro SUV crossover things, which are so popular at the moment. I think they're hateful things, but anyway, that seems to be what everyone wants to buy at the moment. So things like a Nissan Qashqai or Nissan Juke or an Audi Q3, that kind of thing, sort of small crossover SUV type thing. Very, very popular in the auto market at the moment. So might that be the shell that goes around the existing World Rally car? I guess we'll need to wait and see. I certainly hope not. It would be good to see a little bit more freedom in the type of cars that manufacturers can use, and it opens up more flexibility for what manufacturers can come to the championship. For example, Subaru don't really have a kind of super mini car, and that might be one of the only reasons that's keeping them back at the moment. We never know. But let's wait and see what the WRC guys come up with. They made a great job with the 2017 new cars, so I think when we get round to 2021, when the new regulations come in, it will be fascinating to see what they come up with. So that's WRC at the moment. I cannot wait till Wales Rally GB comes round. I'm going to be watching very, very closely on WRC All Live. I couldn't encourage you enough to go on and give that service a go. Give it a trial just for Wales Rally GB. It is fantastic coverage from Bex Williams in commentary and Colin Clark at stage end and all these. It's a great team that put that production together. And I couldn't urge you any more to give it a try. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast. I really, really appreciate it. You can, as I say, you can subscribe on iTunes, on Podbean, on Stitcher, where you'll find all of our old episodes. Soon we're going to be producing our next episode in our Icons of Scottish Motorsport series. The first episode was about Jim Clark, and the second episode will be about Sir Jackie Stewart as well. So I'm really looking forward to recording that one, and that will be published very soon. So do tune in for that one when it comes out. Again, please do get in touch on our Twitter page, which is @MackayPodcast. I would love to hear from you with all your thoughts about the show. So thanks very much for listening, and I look forward to speaking to you again very soon.